God wanted me to add verses this week. So I know. God usually doesn't want me to add things. God's usually saying, please be quiet. But could you read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll stop, and then we're going to add a little verses, and then finish. So if right now you could just read verses 1 through 6.
Okay. Good morning. Today's reading is Psalm 139, 1 through 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it.
Thank you. And now I would ask all of us to find the Pew Bible, if you would, if there's one with you, and turn to page 541, Psalm 139, verse 7. And if we could read verses 7 through 12 together, and when you read it, if somehow you could just really take that in and read it like you really mean it, you know, like just for you. This is poetry. And I know a lot of people, I mean, I used to feel this way. Roses are red, violets are blue, poetry is boring, right? But it's not. Let us read this together. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee. The night is bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with thee. And then, BJ, if you would, please.
This is Psalms 139, 13 through 18. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance, and the book were written. All the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. This is a reading of God's word.
And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So why did I feel like God was asking me to add verses today? Well, there are two reasons, and the first one is this. For one reason or another, I saw a lot of kids at the library playing hide and seek in the library. Now that might seem kind of weird. Certainly in an old school library, you wouldn't think that kids would be playing hide and seek, but this happens quite a bit at the Shaler Library. We're a loud library, especially on the second floor, where the teens and the kids are, and we often see little children playing with each other back and forth, parents, caregivers, and it brought back memories of my own self as a child playing hide and seek, and how much I hated it because I was afraid, you know, that nobody would would look for me. Yeah. So, but I love watching little kids play hide and seek, because especially when they're really little, the delight that you can just see on their faces when their parents or grandmas turn a corner and they are discovered. When the kids are found, they are no longer alone. And their faces just light up with this joy and they giggle. They're found. I'm here. They see me. They got me. I know it's a game, it's an old game. The first recorded game of hide and seek goes back to 2nd century Greece. I think it has some staying power. But when I saw it this week, it hit me in a different way. And it hit me in relation to this beautiful poem right here, Psalm 139. This holy word, these beautiful words written by a child of God, I think that they convict and they comfort at the same time. Because they remind us how often we play hide and seek with God. Indeed, if you think about the story of Adam in the Garden of Eden, in that story, after Adam and Eve, they eat of the forbidden fruit, they become ashamed of their bodies, they cover themselves. The story goes that when they hear God walking in the garden, they hide. And God says to Adam, "Where are you?" And Adam replies, "I heard the sound of you moving, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid myself." And then Abel tries to hide from God after he kills his brother. And Jonah tries to hide from God's call. And in the passage that we read aloud together, the author of this psalm, they share their experience of hiding. They try to hide several places, but where can I go? Where can I flee? I go to heaven, you're there. I go in the pit, you're there. The farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand, it's going to hold me fast. I try to hide in the darkness. No, you are shining a light on me. You find me. And this psalm is a salve. It is an ointment for the wounded, for the running, for the hurting soul. It's for you and I who want to hide, who've hidden parts of ourselves, or just want to hide from the pain for things that have happened in our world, our smaller world, our intimate world, when we get those horrible phone calls that a loved one is gone, that a precious one of ours has received a diagnosis, that something awful may happen or has happened, that there is no tomorrow, or that something that we have done or have left undone, we want to hide that. We don't need to run from that anymore. We don't need to hide, because this word reminds us that not only does God know that already, was that God was with us then and now, and God has found us, and God's hand is upon us. God has seen us. God knows. Oh Lord, you searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You know my words. But God loves us. Known and loved and able to be redeemed and reworked and reformed. Known and loved. I wonder how many times someone has offered you a word of praise or compliment, a word of gratitude, and you shrugged it off, either out loud or maybe inside. You walked away from a conversation where somebody said to you, thank you, or you are such an angel, or you really helped me through that, or I'm so glad that you did this, or I'm so glad that I met you. And you walked away and you thought, boy, if they only really knew me. Or boy, I have them fooled. I hear people say that all the time. I say it too. And everybody has a good laugh. And yes, okay, the truth is nobody's perfect. And at the same time, I think we need to internalize those words of praise, those gentle, tender words of thought from others, because I'm coming to understand that those little words of appreciation, those notes that people send you, those are reminders, and they're coming from God's children. They're coming from God. Those are reminders of the truth. Those are reminders that there is someone who really does know you. There really is someone who you are unable to fool. You are unable to hide from. And that someone loves you without exception, every bit of you. This week, I talked with a man I've known for about 5 or 6 years now. Not well, but he's a regular patron at the library. And we've always been friendly, and we've talked about everything from the spiritual stuff to movies, the New York Times bestseller list. And in our conversation this week, he shared with me that this is the one-year anniversary of his apartment. And I raised an eyebrow. I didn't fully understand what he was talking about. And he told me more of his story. And it turns out that prior to a year ago, he'd been living in his car. And that was why he was at the library so much. He'd lived in his car for nearly 5 years. He'd lost his job and his home. And he'd use the library for the computer to apply for programs and help and jobs. He'd gotten a gym membership for $10 or $30 a month so he could shower. It took him a long time to find a job because it's hard to get jobs and help without a formal address. And he worked for a couple of years living in his car until he could save up for a security deposit on an apartment. And so now for a year, he had an official address, a place to call his own other than his vehicle. And he said that now he still doesn't really tell a lot of people about his years in his Chevy. And he was probably only just telling me because he didn't know me all that well. He tried his best to look like a regular person, and indeed, I never would have guessed that he was unhoused all those years. He told me that he always knew that God was watching over him and was always with him in that car. He's not a churchgoer. He made that very clear. He knew that God hadn't put him in that car. But he knew that God was with him in that car. And he knew that God would be with him every night when he was and when, if he ever got out. And that's what kept him going on the coldest nights of the year. And I thought back to how many cold nights we'd had in the last few years. And on the sweltering nights, and I thought back to all the hot nights we'd had. And all the roadblocks that popped up on his way, his progress to get his apartment. And we talked, and I told him about the message I was working on this week and where I thought maybe God was taking me. And that's the real reason why I asked us to add those verses. Because this man refused to hide from God. And I'll call him Joe. Joe said that he hid his situation from people, and it wasn't easy. But he hid from people because he was ashamed. But he knew he couldn't hide his situation from God. But more importantly, Joe said, because he knew that people would most likely judge him. He had a very low anthropology. People had hurt him. He knew that people would most likely judge him and call him lazy or weird or broken and unfixable. But he knew that God was okay with him. And God found him to be a pretty decent guy. In my prayer is that every one of us could write this poem on our hearts. I discovered this week that the mystic preacher, theologian Howard Thurman, during his adult life, he lived to be 81. This was the prayer he prayed, the scripture he recited every day of his adult life, Psalm 139. He called this the great passage. This is the passage I used to preach at the most difficult funeral I ever had to do, the funeral of my dear friend's baby who died before she was born, 2 days before her due date. Because no matter where we go, what painful places life takes us, God is there with us. No matter what we are thinking or how we react to the circumstances, the storms of life, the pain, the hell around us, we are seen, we are known, and we are loved. Amen.